What's up, everybody? Welcome back to episode 93 of the Rocket Punchcast. Don't call it a comeback, as I think you posted earlier.
I did.
We've been here for years.
Yeah, right. We have been here for years. As always, guys, I'm one of your hosts, Cameron, here alongside my cavalcade of co-hosts, Chris and Will. What's going on?
Things and stuff.
Will's giving me like the look like, what?
Cavalcade. I don't like that word.
There's just something about the word cavalcade. I just can't do it.
No, I'm going to be a word snob right now. I think there's a better option we could have chosen, but that's fine.
How's everybody doing today? We had more or less had a week off.
Yeah.
I was out of town.
You had a week off.
I mean, you had to take care of family.
You had a week off. He tells me that when I came in. He's like, what'd you do with your week off? I'm like,
what week off?
Work? The week off? Like a crazy person? What are you talking about?
Yeah, you worked like 400 hours, right?
Yeah, I'm like, that's the worst week off I ever had. If that was a week off, I'd hate to see when I'm actually busy.
We know what it's like when you're busy.
I'm waiting for a hurricane season in five. What did you...
You know, I've told you multiple times, it's torture when you go out of town. Because Trish and I just sit there and we're like, we could go out and do stuff, but I don't see what the point is if we can't go with Cameron and Whitney.
It's totally not true. Totally not true. Don't believe him, folks. Don't believe him. No,
what do you think? I told you I got in an argument last weekend with my wife. What did you think it was about?
But Cameron and Whitney aren't here. We can't go yet. We can't.
I was going to say that's between y'all, but it literally is.
Yeah. No, but
I'm just over here working retail life.
But no, guys, we had a week off from Rocket Punch. We had a lot of the real life stuff that came up. But we're back in the swing of things. Got a lot of cool stuff planned.
Yeah, we worked very hard today on that stuff.
Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it here in the housekeeping. So let's just get right into the swing of things, guys. If you did not know, this is the Rocket Punch Cast, where groups of friends from all around come around this table, talk about video games into microphones, guys. You can listen to us every Tuesday on your podcast service of choice. You can watch us live as we record the show over at twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive every Sunday at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time there. If you want to see all the content, you want to see all the podcasts and streams and everything that we do, head over to RocketPunchGo.com. That is your place to go to get everything Rocket Punch, be up to date on what we're doing there. If you want to be even more up to date, go even further beyond. We're getting our lines ready to go here. Guys, you can go to patreon.com/rocketpunch for as little as $1 a month. You can help support the show, help keep the lights on and the mics running, get a lot of cool swag and awesome goodies in the process, exclusive episodes, chance at some free games. Our patrons are going to be excited about that this week.
We have many chances of
free games. Yeah, many, many chances. And talking about Patreon, let's talk about that. If you are a patron, you're watching right now, you should expect our free game and free game plus giveaways, depending on if you're on the gold or platinum tier. In our patronage over at patreon.com/rocketpunchlive, we'll be handing those out this week. Definitely tune into Patreon to see what games we are giving away. So we're going to make it a surprise. You can find out over there. What else we got going on here? We've got the bonus episode of Tank and Spank will be going live as well this week.
Mm-hmm. And the newsletter.
Is it this week or next week?
I wanted it to go out before the Comic-Con.
Before Comic-Con? Yeah, okay, definitely.
Comic-Con's this weekend, so I wanted to make sure it got out before then. So.
Wait, what Comic-Con?
Huntsville Comic-Con over at Little Mill.
Don't worry. I got that in here, too. We're going to help you out here.
There's plenty of opportunities to burn through hundreds of dollars here in Huntsville.
Every day. So, yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, we're going to give you that information there. But definitely, we're going to have the patron newsletter for April 2018. It'll be going live this week. So you guys will definitely know if you're a patron of ours. You'll know what's coming on. Kind of cool little stuff. We talked about it earlier today. I'll give you kind of a glimpse at some of the stuff we do have planned for the next month. Mm. It'll be really, really exciting.
March and April are busy.
They're very busy. Very busy. If you're watching via video, watching us on Twitch, if you are an Amazon Prime subscriber, you should have a Twitch Prime membership. We would appreciate it if you threw it our way. It's completely free for you and it helps our streams out as well. If you are listening via audio, definitely please take some time, go rate and review us on that podcast service of choice, whether it's iTunes, Google Play. We finally cracked what we need to do for Spotify. Code. We've cracked the Spotify code. Will, you weren't in for this conversation. We'll have to talk off mic, but there is actually a completely different process now for getting on Spotify.
We had to log into the Matrix and figure it out. But
so you mean the process I already submitted?
The form?
Yeah.
It's not the form.
It's not the form.
It's not the form.
So what? They still leave the form up just because?
I'm just going to tell you, I'm going to leave it here. The form is absolutely worthless. It's literally a waste of your time
if
you do the form.
If you would like to waste 10 minutes of your time, fill out this form.
Yes, that's...
That we probably won't even spend the time to look at.
I'm sure one of my co-hosts will help me out here as well. If you are looking for a cool gaming community to hang out with, we would love if you would join our Discord chat.
Hey,
we'll throw it up in chat here right now, but... come on down, come hang out with us, play games, do whatever you want to do, bring your friends. We got a cool little community we're working to build up. And also, if you are a patron as well, you do get access to some exclusive Patreon-only channels and chats. So if you don't want to talk with the non-patrons, you can do that.
The plebeians, as it
were. There you go. No, you guys are... Everybody's great. Everybody's great.
I can't drop the link. So can you drop the link? I can't do it on this tablet. If I do that, I'll lose my cool little split screen thing. It'll mess everything up.
I'm disappointed.
And of course, if you are watching on Twitch, you have any questions for us that you want to get answered, just put in the hashtag AskRocketPunch. Ask your question in Twitch chat. We will answer those if we have any at the end of the show. Kind of giving... a planning for this week, upcoming events. If you're listening to this live on podcast services, we will be doing a Sea of Thieves stream this Tuesday, the 27th?
Yes.
The 27th. Right now, tentatively, we'll say 8 p.m. It might be a little bit later. We'll see, depending on some of the plans we have. One big thing, apparently, it has been told upon me that we have to role play.
Yes.
We're doing this stream.
Absolutely.
Shiver me timbers, so, matey.
A lot of eye patches, maybe a hat, maybe a hook. Who knows?
You have to love to see you use a mouse with a hook.
Oh, God. I would love that. I'll do some WASD with the hook. I'm trying, guys. It's hard with this peg leg. But we'll be streaming that on Tuesday as well. Wednesday, we're going to have one that I'll talk more about as well from my experience. But The Division. We'll be playing some Division on PC this upcoming Wednesday. Jumping back in, kind of looking at the new content because we haven't really played in a while.
It's been a long while for me.
Yeah.
6 months, something like that. 5 months.
Most definitely. Yeah. And then also as well, I put it in the schedule. We will just rolled in from work, so we'll have to talk about it. There will be an After Dark stream at some point in time near the tail end of the week. Definitely depends on Will's schedule.
It's going to be Ni No Kuni.
Nino, okay, you got it? Oh, good.
I got you, dog.
All right.
I'm actually waiting to start it up for the very first time on stream.
Okay, cool. Very, very cool. So we'll have that there, guys. Just make sure to follow us here on twitch.tv/RocketPunchLive so you'll know when we'll go live. You can also check out our schedule. We'll update that at the end of this show so you guys know what's going to be going on this week as well. For Will and for everybody else, if you're local to the North Alabama area, the Huntsville Comic-Con is this weekend, March 30th and 31st, over at the Low Mill Arts and Entertainment Building. Join us. If you see us over there, come say hi to us. Chris has got a really cool plan.
Yeah,
Might be able to get a free game in the process if you do find us at the Comic-Con.
It's
just
a pretty strong possibility.
I can't believable.
Inconceivable. But definitely got to get ready for that. Anything else coming up? Should we start talking about the thing?
Well,
dropping hints.
I don't see why not, right? Keep them on the hook.
So as you guys know, as everybody knows, I'm really bad with math. So this is episode 93, I think. We're getting close to a big number. That's 94? Kind of a big deal. That's almost it.
No, 95.
95. That's close. No, I think it has 3 digits. I think it's 10.
I don't think they make numbers in 3 digits.
They don't?
No. Once you hit 99, it loops back to zero.
No, we are totally kidding, guys. We are getting close to episode 100, which we've talked about it as well.
No. It's 0.5.
0.5?
And then it's 1.5 and 2.5.
Oh, okay. We skipped that part of there. No.
Yeah.
We've talked and it's a big deal for us here at Rocket Punch. Did we, like, I'm trying to think of if we
I'm going to be real. If we include all the Game of the Years, we're way past 100.
Oh, no. Yeah. As far as 100 episodes, yes, but as far as 100 Rocket Punch casts proper, we're coming up on it soon. And so we've got a lot of really awesome, cool plans.
Awesome, cool.
If you are in or around the North Alabama area, definitely stay tuned over the next couple of weeks. We're going to be revealing our plans. It's going to be pretty awesome. I think we're going to go talk to some people and kind of lock some stuff down. So I don't want to say too much yet, but I'll definitely say if you are in the area, you want to get hyped for episode 100.
And if you're not in the area, you know, there's plenty of airfare right here to Huntsville International Airport. Really cheap,
like straight flights. You don't even have to do any layovers.
Wait, hang on. You guys do know Huntsville International is like one of the most expensive airports to fly into in the country,
then
right?
Then fly into Nashville and rent a car and drive down from Nashville.
We'll have a party bus come and pick up all of our listeners. Yeah, we'll have them go and pick them up.
Oh, that will be awesome. Yeah, it'll be
good and by times. A party bus, we mean the shuttle that'll cost you about $45 to ride from Nashville.
It's going to be the party bus from Fortnite. It's going to fly in and pick everybody up.
I don't think Huntsville International would be okay with that.
No, that's too bad. As long as we don't fly over Redstone airspace, we're totally fine. guys, definitely stay tuned. Make sure you're following us on social. If you're a patron, don't worry. You're going to get a lot of information in advance, so you're totally cool. But we've got a lot of cool stuff playing. We're really excited about setting that up, make sure we kind of lock stuff down for it. So stay tuned for that.
Indeed.
Other than that, that's it for all the housekeeping notes here. Now we're going to jump into the table talk.
Table talk.
Not really any overall stuff. I don't think, according to the notes here, we don't have anything overall.
Hang on. There's something overall.
I think there's...
You guys have both seen episode 131 of Super, right?
Yes.
I have.
We have seen
We need episode. To talk about that.
We want to talk... that, okay, sure. If you're joining us... Dragon Ball FighterZ is a game. I guess we can talk about that.
Also, there's a Dragon Ball Super card game, and there's a mobile tutorial game.
Oh, there is.
There's Dokkan Battle. They just announced a new mobile iOS Dragon Ball game.
It's like a traditional fighter, too.
Yeah.
No, if you're a Dragon Ball fan, you've been following Dragon Ball Super, I'm sure. The final episode, at least for now, episode 131, was released this past evening. Not jumping into any spoilers, because I'm sure some people may not have watched it yet, but what did you guys think?
Yuya Takahashi is a god among animators. I'm just going to go ahead and throw that out there. I've never seen a fight quite portrayed the way he portrayed the actual animation style for Jiren versus Goku.
Mm.
Okay.
I think it's the first time I've seen like a battle like on screen that actually showed that kind of legitimate speed. It's not like, oh my god, where'd they go? Where it's like flashes across screen like
That's a cheap way. Like just make.
Well, I mean, back then
it was believable.
Yeah, let's be fair. 1980 says hi. No, it's one of those where honestly, like, just the sense of speed was insane.
Oh yeah, even in the episode before when they're fighting and Goku, like, he's got his hands down, and it's like, Goku's not doing anything, but you're starting to, like, you get closer, and they're vibrating, and literally so fast, you can barely tell that his hands are moving. It was really, really cool. The animation was very top-notch, especially when you think about where we came from when Super started.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Where we end.
That's the truth.
Somebody, when they finally saw, oh, we can make money from this, get the big dogs in. Pull them in. That way we can keep them.
Pull them off rolling. Sailor Moon, which wasn't doing that great. Come over this way and make real money, please.
Get these middle school students out of here. Who hired them?
I don't care
how good your DeviantArt page was. Get out of here.
To be fair, there are some good DeviantArt pages, and then there are some where it's like, you're just crying.
Yeah.
It's not joy.
There are DeviantArt pages, then there are DeviantArt pages.
Okay? You got to be careful with the word deviant, because that could mean something else.
That's very true. I'm just saying. But no, I enjoyed the episode a lot. Got to watch it on my nice big new TV, which I'm going to talk about here in a little bit. But it was... animations were great. The final battle scene was great. I think I'd mentioned to you guys too, I would have liked, it felt a little rushed. I would have, even like combining 130 and 131, or at least just stretching out 131 a little bit more. So it didn't feel as rushed.
So what you're saying is take the epilogue that was the second half, make that it's like 132 and make 131 just the end of the tournament.
And I don't mean like the epilogue wasn't even the second half. It was really just like, at least, like, I would have loved just in episodes afterwards, like what happens after The tournament, so, like, have that in episode.
Just so you know, what happens after the tournament, we'll see in a movie in December.
That's
December 14th.
Okay, yeah, they still want to make money. Okay, all right.
What they're doing is...
Oh, they are greedy. Oh, that's
We're going to get, like, an hour and a half movie. And all I'm saying is December 14th, and the teaser trailer that was released globally was in English. It wasn't in Japanese, which means they're looking at a possible global release for the film.
Look, when you have tens of thousands of people standing in, like, a Times Square cityscape area watching a large television screen.
And the millions watching at home.
Well, there you go, yeah.
Guys, Now, I will say, there was one point where Dragon Ball, hashtag Dragon Ball Super, was the top trending hashtag on Twitter.
Yes, that, like, there were, if anybody had any doubts about, like, oh, are they going to bring Super back? They're going to bring Super back. Like, people still love Dragon Ball. Continue making them. Continue making more money. Surprise.
People love things from their childhood.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
And when things go explosions and we have colors that we never had in a Dragon Ball fight before, people will lose their damn mind.
Yeah. Chris, any thoughts on Dragon Ball?
I don't know why. I don't understand why you wouldn't have put your A team on it to begin with. I'm not sure I understand why you thought, I don't know, maybe it'll make money. It's like, to me, like, that's just it's the series that keeps on giving. Like, I just, you know, we all want something just very basic. We don't need a overarching storyline. We don't need any kind of in-depth political nonsense. Just guys punching each other in the face, like, hard with their changing colored hair. Like, very simple. Like,
we saw a lot. It went from gold. Yellow to blue to even, like, a red skin at some point.
You skipped red.
Red before blue.
So pink.
Pink,
oh,
pink
rose?
Day?
Yeah. No, it was rose, actually. Because it's Super Saiyan rose.
Okay. No, that's too technical. We got to have the simple colors. Yellow, red, blue, pink. That's it. There you go.
Agreed.
And then we went back to black, and then we went silver.
There you go. So that's how it works here in the Dragon Ball universe there. But other than Dragon Ball, we got the Dragon Ball goodness out of our hearts here. What else have you guys?
Always in my heart.
I mean,
it never left. It never left.
It never leaves. You squeeze it out to share it with everybody else.
Now, to be fair, I mean, we didn't win the bracket we were in the whole Potter Madness. But But you guys saw that hashtag I used, right?
No.
Hashtag give me your energy.
Yes, I did.
Oh,
no, I did see that. That was good. That was good. I was like, he did. He did do that.
That's good.
All we needed was the picture of Goku. Like,
I was on mobile, or I would have.
And, like, the spirit ball is the Rocket Punch logo. Oh, my God. We're going to save that. We're going to do that. That's going to happen.
Yep.
Oh, don't worry.
Right next to Inkling Girl.
Actually, I will say that may be something we use for an Extra Life.
I like that. I like that a lot.
Me too. It's cool.
What else have you guys... What else has been going on? What have you guys been playing? Getting into?
All week. It took all week. Again, it's taken me 3+ weeks now, but it's finally over. I unlocked the Nightborn.
Yay! Get the Nightborn.
Finally.
Congrats.
I'm very excited.
For people who don't know, the Nightborn is an allied race in World of Warcraft. It is apparently very hard to get.
For those who don't know, get good scrub.
Okay. Oh, wow. Wow, okay. You heard it here first, folks.
So, finally unlocked it. Very hard to unlock. I couldn't believe the quest lines required to get through Suramar. It was just awful.
Oh, wow, really?
It was just awful. Yeah. It just kept going on and on.
The High Mountain... The quest lines were really easy for High Mountain. All I have to do is get my rep.
Exactly. I've exalted people a dozen times before. Never had too much of an issue. This was nightmarish. It just kept going on forever. And so you got to finish an entire set of achievements. That's the achievements that you would use to unlock flying in Legion. Then there's a whole new set of requirements. A whole new quest line pops up that you have to run through. One of the quest line pieces in there is you have to do 10 daily quests, and they don't give you 10 on a day. So now you're set back 2 days by minimum. You know what I mean? Yeah! Oh my gosh. And then you have to hit Exalted in the rep as well. So it's like the amount of work required to get through this set I can't believe that there's other people who are playing Nightborne right now. I'm like, man.
B is gaming in Twitch chat says, if you had flying, .. just kind of, he's kind of tossing it out there for you.
He did. Actually, I cheated most of the way. My wife does have flying, so she's got a flying mount.
She's got a two-person mount,
and I just fly around with her. So actually, it could have been even worse than it already was. If it had been that bad, if she hadn't helped me, I wouldn't have done it. I would have just been like, blood elves are cool. That's fine. This is fine. It's just red tinted. The blood elves
got new gold eye stuff as well. Perfect. There's some cool stuff the blood elves got. We'll talk about it probably in...
I've been all out of everything, guys.
Okay, no. We'll
this last week has left me like a husk of a WoW player.
Stay tuned for Tank and Spank this Thursday. I saw some stuff for new blood elf stuff and a lot of other cool kind of graphical stuff for Battle for Azeroth, but no. So you're getting ready. What is your Nightborne?
I went ahead and made a lock.
Ooh,
yeah, and I'm digging it. Okay. It's nice because I feel like when you play your class the way that it's supposed to be played, you should be up on the DPS meter.
Mm-hmm.
And as my hunter, I thought I was doing it right, but I'm never able to get past like mid tier. Mm-hmm. And on this one, there's been several times that I ended up first tier on a few dungeons that I ran. So. Yeah, I'm digging it. Like, it's nice to do the job the right way and be number one and be like, ha, look at that. I do know how to play this game.
Yeah!
See, everybody, you finally graduated from Huntar or Noobdom.
Yeah, right?
You graduated from Noob tier, and now you can be a real WoW player.
Yeah, we got a little Halo with Lannis in Twitch chat giving a little Horde love for the Horde.
Yeah, I mean, it's only on the back of my laptop.
Okay, so,
it's also on the back of my car, on the back of my jacket.
Horde is life for you?
Yeah. No.
Get it on the back of your head. That'd be cool.
That'd be awesome.
Once all the hair falls out, that's a possibility.
Get a Garrosh head cut.
Yeah.
Head cut.
There you go.
Give me the look.
You realize through that entire expansion, I was a Prot Warrior Tauren.
My issue
is he fucking killed Karen.
Oh yeah.
I liked Karen
from Warcraft 3.
B is gaming in Twitch that says for Nomeragon. Yeah, that's the real MVP right there.
Hang on, let me go get a mana bomb. I'll be right back. No, they need a mana bomb. I'll be right back. Give me a minute. I gotta go borrow that focusing iris.
Anything else, Chris?
That took so much work.
Look, man, the way you described it is pretty involved. Will, what about yourself, man? You've been kind of in and out. And I know you haven't had much time.
Yeah, this last week, first off, caring for people who have been sick and through surgery sucks.
Yes.
So Hearthstone has been my main escape. That and Dokken Battle.
Of course. Of course, Dokken Battle. Not surprised.
Let me go ahead and say Hearthstone's been dope. All I got to say is spells are fun. That pre-made deck that is an option for mages is stupid in the best way possible.
I'm going to jump back in there and play it. I'm all about some like OP decks, man. I get that deck. Ooh,
no.
I was rolling.
No. It's not OP. It's just, it's fun to play.
Okay.
It's not overpowered. I've lost several times playing it, but I will say it is legitimately a fun deck. The more, there's a card you play. She's a 3/3, but for every spell you play that costs 5 or more, you get a 5/5 Phoenix.
I think I know what you're talking about.
At the end, when I've got like 2 cards left on my deck, let's just go ahead and say I've had upwards of 60 armor on a mage.
Jesus Christ.
And I've had an entire board of 5/5 Phoenixes with one 3/3 in the middle of them.
So it's less Phoenix and more Jean Grey Dark Phoenix.
Yes! If you play it right, like you do the anytime you do one of those field wipe spells, the fire one that does 4 damage to everything on your opponent's side of the field.
Flame Strike.
Yeah. So whenever you do that, if you have this 1/1/2 minion on the field, every time you play a spell, its cost is given to you as armor.
Ooh. Wow.
Let me just tell you, it gets stupid. Oh, let me go ahead and just drop a 10-cost Pyroblast over here. That's 10 armor. You got 2 of those guys on the field, you just got 20 armor for 10 mana.
And that's if you get to that point where you're actually using 10 mana cards.
Yeah, right?
I can tell you, in with that deck, it's very easy to get to dropping 10 mana cost spells.
Oh, okay. So,
Interessante.
Some good Hearthstone stuff. What else is going on?
So, I mentioned Dokken Battle. I'm sorry. It's going to be quick. But I have finally finished the quest for the perfected God tier LR Vegito Blue.
Man, you said a lot of acronyms. All I followed was Vegito. That's it.
No,
he's
no.
He's G2G in the AFK.
No. So
W-O-T-L-K.
No, no. It's the highest rarity in the game with super attack of 20, which you can only get on level 150 cards.
Okay.
Fully perfected on all stats. And he's Super Saiyan Blue Vegito.
So he's dope.
He's dope kind of AF. A big deal.
So he's canon, is what you would say.
Yes. Compared to my Super Saiyan 4 Gogeta, yes.
Hey, not anymore. It's got, Vegito's canon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, it's pretty cool.
No, no. The real important thing, though, is Gundam Seed is on Crunchyroll.
680 exclamation points. Six, next like,
oh, did you count them all?
He specifically counted before we started the show, like all of the exclamation points.
So, back in the day, one of the things you and I bonded over was watching Gundam together.
Yes, 100%.
So, I was literally flipping through Crunchyroll in a blind fury because I couldn't watch episode 131 when it posted because it kept giving server errors.
Nice.
Surprise, surprise, Crunchyroll can't handle the load when a new episode comes out. Anyway, scrolling through, I was like, oh, they have a mecha section now. Okay, that's interesting. Click on mecha. Okay, cool. We got some new mecha. Scrolling through. Wait, Gundam's on here? It's not Iron-Blooded Orphans. Hang on. Also, Gundam Unicorn is on there.
Yes, I did watch Gundam Unicorn. I was finally able to finish that. I was super happy about that.
But, dude, let me go ahead and tell you right now, Seed looks great in HD.
Oh, man. I'm excited. Like we talked off mic, but Seed is my favorite. Seed Destiny is cool, but I feel like it kind of just rehashes the first Seed. So, like, okay. But it's still cool. It's still pretty cool, pretty fun. What's his name? What's the guy's name? Kira
Yamato.
Kira, yeah, okay, yeah. Kira's pretty cool. I like him. I think he's more of a badass in Destiny than he was in the first one.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. The way they introduce him as a character when he's literally getting into, like, the first Gundams in this series, and it's like, oh, she's not able to drive it right. Get out. Literally, while he's fighting another robot, he rewrites the entire OS for the Gundam.
Basically get good. He's like, yeah.
He's like, oh man, this is shit. Let me, as he's fighting, dodging stuff, punch this guy in the face, let me rewrite the whole OS for the robot at the same time.
Because that's believable, right?
It's multitasking, Cameron.
All right.
I mean, in the original Gundam, they would have called him a new type, but you know, whatever.
Yeah. New type, multitask, whatever you want to say.
No,
tomato, tomato.
No, it's a C word. I can't remember what they use in this one. I'm on like episode 3.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Don't use the C word. We don't have the
butcher flag.
You gotta be really careful.
No, it's coordinator. Coordinator is what it is.
Okay, coordinator, okay. All right. So yeah. I'm happy about that. Now where is my G Gundam HD remake?
I don't know, but Mobile Fighter G Gundam is on there as well.
It is on there, but where's the HD?
Oh, that will never happen. They'll do Gundam Wing first, and they've had no signs of doing that.
I mean, I like Wing. I like everybody Wing. Loves Wing. Yeah,
Wing. No. Wing was my gateway drug to Gundam.
Oh my gosh, Wing. Hey, I love Wing so much that I'm actually going to sign up for Crunchyroll just to watch a Seed, because 680 exclamation points can't be wrong, guys.
Let me go ahead and tell you, I love Wing. I love Gundam Seed. The only one I like more than Gundam Seed is 00.
Double-O's good.
And I'm talking season one and season two. That movie can go die in a fire.
All right. anything else?
No, man, I'm good. It's been more of an anime week because, you know, Crunchyroll on the phone with a headphone in.
You got to do what you got to do, bro.
Been an anime kind of week.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I played some games. Since this is a video game podcast.
Wait, are we allowed to play games here anymore?
Games.
I mean, Hearthstone's a game.
A significant amount of time.
Well, it is. That, you're correct. That is World of Warcraft. It does tend to kind of like pull you in.
I had no choice. I was like, I got to get this done. I keep looking at the calendar going, September's right around the corner. Come on.
September's right around the corner. It's only almost April.
Yeah.
Only almost
exactly.
April.
Exactly. You know, I still got to get to 110 on this warlock. He only starts at 20.
So
that's easy.
I got first and foremost, I did get finally I've ascended to godhood like the rest of you. I've come up to your level. I now have a 4K TV.
Yay!
Got the OLED, the LG OLED, which according to some of the, like a lot of the research I've done, if you want the best of the best TV in the market right now, it's the one that...
B7A?
Yeah, the B7A for the value and what you get
is beautiful. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Let me tell you what...
What?
We talked about Horizon Zero Dawn, Rocket Punch's 2017 Game of the Year, last time and how gorgeous that game looked. And you, especially Will, you were speaking on it because you had a Sony TV at the time. You
played this. I have one of the XBR series 4K LED TVs, yes. And I love that TV.
I got a PlayStation 4 Pro. I got the OLED. I'm like, I got to fire up Horizon. Like, you got to do it. You just got it. It's like a requirement.
It's only the Rocket Punch game of the year.
Holy freaking crap. That game is so beautiful. I literally have never seen a more beautiful game on any console or PC based on the hardware that I have until I played Horizon on the 4K OLED. It was gorgeous. Colors, HDR, everything was beautiful. Almost like my eyes almost bled. It was gorgeous. I played a bunch of other games on there, some that had PS4 Pro support. I'm super happy. So definitely going to get at least my feedback and experience on a lot of new games that are coming out, playing them on the one of the best TVs you could possibly purchase. But I like Horizon. If you own Horizon Zero Dawn, you need to make sure you get a PS4 Pro and a 4K TV to play that on, like 100%. That is gorgeous. You're missing out if you're not doing that. 100%.
Yeah, or get the Sony. Either way,
the Sony one was a good alternative. I know that. Well, that was like according to the websites I looked, they're like, okay, that's if you don't want OLED, Sony LEDs are probably some of the best on the market.
Yeah, which for the you guys that don't know, I hate OLEDs. I just think it's oversaturated as far as colors go, personally.
Oh my gosh, it's dripping.
See, I just need the right amount of color, and my plebeian eyes are used to
all the colors,
CRTs and LCDs.
Praying mantis that can see like spectrums of color that we can't even see as humans. Oh, wow. I'm right there. I'm on that cutting edge of color technology here.
So what you're saying is you need to get your DNA enhanced with mantis.
Oh man,
DNA.
I would do it in a heartbeat. If somebody was like, I could make that picture look even better, I'd be give me the mantis eyes.
Didn't a TV show already try that once and it didn't turn out very well?
I mean, his wife would eat him at the end of it all.
That's true. That's Rick and Morty. That's it. It didn't turn out well for those guys. So you gotta be careful. But aside from the new OLED, we got that. I was very much involved on the computer a lot. Played a lot of Overwatch. I feel like I'm getting much better. The next time we play as a whole, I'm picking Tracer, and you will see why, because I'm wrecking shop as Tracer. I feel pretty confident in my Tracer play. Zenyatta plays doing pretty well. Apparently, I'm a pretty good Junkrat, too.
I love me some Junkrat.
Some death matches, I picked Junkrat, and that messes people up. Now, granted, they weren't paying half bit of it. Like, I'm doing damage to you. Please come kill me. And they weren't doing much. But confidence booster, you need that every once in a while. But the big game I was really excited about, and the reason why we are streaming it this week, got The Division. We talked about it the last episode we did, 92, about what we wanted from The Division 2. Because we're all such good friends, one of my good friends, Chris here, let me know that The Division is on sale for $14.99 on Steam.
I did do that.
I owned it on PS4, but I was like, I want to try it out on PC. It's cheap enough now. Plus, Chris, you have it on PC.
I do.
So definitely
I just bought it.
Yeah.
I was like, $15? Okay, I can try this.
I think Ben's going to join us as well.
Yes.
Now,
we got a full squad.
When you guys are streaming, though, I will be working until about 11 o'clock that
womp,
night.
Womp, womp, womp.
So I'll just get to play with y'all afterwards.
Yeah,
just,
that's fine.
Just cancel work.
I'm already max level, so I'm ready to rock on you guys. I got my legendary gear. I'm ready.
Funny enough, Will, you weren't here for it, but the conversation we had about what we wanted from Destiny 2, even just from playing for probably like, what, an hour
I mean,
or
you
two?
Mean the Division 2?
Division 2.
Not Destiny 2.
I don't think
so. Did I say Destiny 2?
Yes, he did.
God, see, man. Activision's in my head. Oh, my God.
See, and it's not the way you want Activision in your head. No.
It's because of that Blizzard launcher, I bet.
Yeah, probably. But it, with the Division, the stuff I know we talked about, I know one thing I was nitpicking about was like finding a way, people were bugged like, oh, if I shoot somebody, they should die instantly. Well, now like some of the larger like kind of named enemies, they have armor packs on their health bar. And so you burn through the armor. And once you burn through the armor, the health is like dead.
Very, that very makes more kill. Sense.
And
that makes that noise.
I would rather it make like the sound of like meat getting shot instead of that.
It is rated in for mature, so they technically could do that.
Yeah. I mean, or, you know, get you some
thoughts out there
too.
For you, Massive Entertainment. But a lot of other cool stuff, like I totally forgot how deep you can go with the weapons. To where, like, especially as you get better weapons, you can have skins, you can have the mods.
The loadouts, yeah, the mods are crazy. There's so much.
Oh, yeah.
Extended mags, increased reload speed.
I jumped back on my PS4 because the Division on PS4 had PS4 Pro support.
Mm-hmm.
I jumped on there to play, and I'm like, dude, my character was badass, and he wasn't even max level yet. And he had, like, this awesome...
He wasn't that badass, then.
Oh, really?
I'm afraid so, yeah. Dang wait! It. Wait till you see me. I'm gonna come rolling up on your street, and it's gonna be like, "Whoa! Who's that paramilitary trooper coming down the street? One shot kill! One shot kill!"
So what you're saying is we take you into the dark zone?
Oh yeah, I'm ready to rock now. Yeah, I'm looking pretty good. I'm looking pretty good.
But I definitely, it felt like for me that the Division is scratching an itch that I've been wanting for a while. I'm really happy to see the state of the game. And kind of some of the improvements they've made. Like you said, the loadouts was really cool. So you can switch all your talents and stuff on the fly. And it just... Sorry, I love my console to death, but it just felt better to play on a keyboard and mouse. With the WASD and the mouse and some of the buttons.
It's fine. I'm going to plug your controller into it and I'll still show up.
Because that's what you do. I know. I know you will. But no, it...
Side note. Random side note. So we play WASD, and so does 99.999% of people except for Jerry. Oh, Jerry plays ESDNF. Do you know anybody else on the planet who plays ESDNF instead of WASD?
I mean, when I play WoW, I'm WASD. What the hell?
He plays ESDNF. I'm like, you play what? I'm like, that's not a thing. You're the only one doing that.
I don't know how to answer that. I don't.
You know what? No. I know why. He wants to be in the Earth Special Defense Force.
Okay.
I heard that game wasn't that great. But no, if you have the Division on any console of choice, I would definitely say, even from the little bit of time I've played, definitely give it a shot, give it a try, play, jump back into it. I think a lot of the updates have really helped. And if you're still uncertain, then just join us on Wednesday for the stream. You can watch us play and see what you think about the new updates. So,
or just join us for the stream anyway, regardless.
Everyone should join us for the stream.
We love you.
That's right. But other than that, my week was pretty busy with work and everything like that. So that was those experiences that, like, the TV and the Overwatch and the Horizon beaming 4K goodness into my eyes, it was great. I was really happy.
So now that you've ascended to 4K,
I've ascended to godhood.
No.
No.
Okay. No, you don't have 128 gigs of RAM.
No, it's not 8K gigs.
Yes.
That's true.
I'm glad you know. So you haven't ascended. Sorry. Yeah. You're a measly Super Saiyan 2 versus Super Saiyan 3.
Oh, man, I got to get there. Just got to train a little bit harder. That's all. So, guys, that's it with the table talk here. Let's jump straight into our topic of the show. We've got one this evening, but it's a pretty juicy one here. Thought about this topic. There was a couple of topics. I thought about talking about the kind of gaming developers unionizing, but I feel like that would be a better conversation for, like, actual game developers to come on the show and talk about with us.
I don't know anything about
it. Yeah, exactly. So
I get there. Yeah, good idea, Cameron.
But...
I think we may know a couple game devs.
One or two, at least, right?
Yeah, we may need to reach out and see if we can do a special episode.
We definitely will. But an article came up to me that kind of started me thinking about, I think this is a good time to talk about it. And it, of course, it involves Nintendo. We can't get enough of them. As a complete side note, congrats on Nintendo. I think they released an article that last year, within a 12-month period, the Nintendo was the best-selling console of all time in a 12-month period.
Yes.
That's we're talking better
than shocker.
Wii U and PS2, so...
Wait, so you're telling me the scarcity wasn't artificial this time? It was legit. No. They couldn't make enough.
Oh, exactly. You're correct. They're starting to learn. I'm not going to say they've learned completely. But there's an article on Kotaku here by Chris Kohler about Nintendo reveals the top 10 best-selling indie games on Switch. And it was an interesting article that made me think of something we've brought up on the show a couple of times before, but I don't think we've really talked in depth about it. As to what's going on. Maybe like touched here or there and kind of some points, but I figured we'd talk about it here. And it's more or less the indie renaissance going on the Nintendo Switch right now. And the fact of, let me see if I can read, get the highlights here from this article. I think, do they have the list here? They do not have the list here that I can see on that article, but it was interesting to hear that list. A lot of your games, Celeste, some new games that came out this year, but some games like Shovel Knight that have been out on other consoles for a while and came on the Switch, and this started getting me thinking. I'm sure we've all heard those stories of like, oh my God, we released our game on the Switch and now we sold more copies on the Switch than we did on all the other consoles and systems combined, and we're making so much money. Indie games on the Switch is rolling, taking over, ruling the day and whatnot. And why are indies becoming such a hit on the Nintendo Switch? Well, even more so than you look at, like, Nintendo Switch has what, like 15? I would probably say a little bit under 15 million consoles out there in the wild right now. You've got PlayStation 4 with 75, probably hitting 80 million. Xbox One's probably 40 million to 50 million. So you've got much larger install bases on all those combined. These games and these indies that have been there for years in some cases, and yet in less than a year, 9 months, you've got games coming out on the Switch. They're selling a hell of a lot better than they did on any of those consoles. That's including PC in some instances. Why?
Oh,
what do you guys think? What's going on?
Well, my soon-to-be best friend, Jim Sterling, has covered this many, many times. Yeah, I'm going to keep saying that. Okay. I'm going to keep saying that, Jim. I'm going to keep saying that until you acknowledge my existence. That's what I'm going to keep doing. So,
okay.
Looking at you, buddy. So my soon-to-be best friend, Jim Sterling, has covered this a million times. And what it comes down to, as far as I can tell, is it is the curation of your digital storefront that makes the biggest impact for these independent developers. The problem is Steam is a cesspool of garbage. You know what I mean? It's just a cesspool of garbage. There's so much trash out there, and it's only gotten worse since the new Steam Direct, when they got rid of Greenlight and swapped it out with Steam Direct, where now you don't even have to go through any sort of voting process in order to get greenlit for Steam. All you got to do is have $100 or something silly. So people are putting up titles
all day long.
So that when you look at your storefront and you go, wow, last year we had 1,000 games come out and this year we had 6,000 games come out. You have to look at numbers like that and go, why did 6,000, what changed between last year and this year that suddenly made it so easy that, you know, we had a 600% increase in the amount of people who are actually putting our games on our platform. Maybe we should look into the quality of these games and see if they're asset flips or see if they're broken trash and don't even come with executable files because the people didn't even upload it that way. So people are buying games that you literally can't even play on Steam. That's a problem. Yeah. And it's been, he's been on top of that problem for a solid few years now. He's been trumpeting it from the highest rooftops that that is an issue that Steam needs to tackle. And they never did. They never made the strides they needed to try and rein in the amount of the sheer vast amount of titles that are getting released on Steam. That, you know, When you're not doing that, you're allowing so much trash to get in that all indie developers are suffering based on that. If you don't happen to get picked up by one of the, you know, six or seven news outlets that have any real clout out there in the interwebs, because let's be honest, there's 100,000 different news outlets, but when it comes down, if you're not IGN, GameSpot, Eurogamer, or one of a dozen other ones, nobody cares, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, if you're not getting picked up by one of those gigantic complexes, no one's going to see your game. You're going to get buried under the filth that is Steam, under these asset flips where people just go and purchase a bunch of stuff directly off the Unity store, don't put any effort whatsoever into coding an actual game around it because it costs them 3 cents to do that. Then they go and put it on direct for $100, and then they end up making their $100 back in a day on, you know, Steam trading card trades and stupid stuff like that. It's Steam's fault that the indie developers have suffered as badly as they have. If you have a good storefront where only a few titles are actually getting in, and every title has had even the smallest amount of QAQC to make sure that the title functions properly and would be considered a game and not just a nonsense trash asset flip that's been done 18 times over by the exact same developer... If you get that and you actually make your storefront comfortable for people to come, because even when you look at the Switch, when you go on the storefront, it's like the most meager storefront you've ever seen in your entire life. Your ability to search is limited very, very much so over the case of it. But just because the store itself has so many great gems in it, it doesn't matter. They don't even have to put a whole lot of effort into giving you 1,000 different options to search or tag it. Because I know Steam did that tagging thing a few years back where they got tired of having, you know, people actually figure out what types of games they were. So they let the community go ahead and tag things incorrectly 90% of the time on all this.
Surprise.
Oh, my gosh.
Or tag it just for the lulz, because let me guess, people do that too.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So... You know, even with the very modest storefront that the Nintendo Switch has, just based on the fact that they're only letting in quality titles, they don't have to be high profile, but they have to be games. They can't just be like tech demos.
Yeah. But because of that, you mean like Celeste?
Yeah, exactly.
Or Stardew Valley?
Yeah.
I think you would have a hard time naming indie games on the Switch that aren't good games. You know what I mean?
No,
it might not be your cup of tea, but they're quality.
It's something as well I want to make. There was a game on the list that I know, Will, you're going to be happy about. The top 10 best-selling games from last year, indie games on the Switch. Comico made that list. Comico is a very short, if I'm not mistaken, $5 game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not expensive. It only released on the Switch. But I'll tell you what, I've enjoyed the hell out of that game. And it was one of the best $5 I spent last year.
And it... Now, question I have as well, talking about this, Chris, so that's with Steam and PC. So are consoles, are the PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store, what's going on with them? What are they doing different? Because I feel like their curation is better than Steam.
I would say it's better than Steam, but I don't think it's as selective as Nintendo's.
Nowhere near it. Has anybody seen the video on the PlayStation YouTube page or whatever for Life of Black Tiger?
No.
Infamous title that Jim Sterling has torn into a million pieces. And shortly after his scathing review of the game or whatever, it was picked up by Sony. And not only is it offered on the Sony storefront, but it's actually something that they've like marketed for, like it's actually on their page, this trash asset flip title of this like open world tiger simulator game. Even get me started on how bad that one is.
I'm gonna Google it now.
It's hot garbage and then some. Like it's smelly hot garbage.
Smelly hot garbage. Chris Scott from Credible Threat Gaming, folks. You heard it here first. Or from Rocket Punch.
Yeah, right?
Actually, I think he's of both. And I just posted the link to the Kotaku article about that.
I'm watching the preview trailer right now.
And what's even crazier is, so Jim Sterling, obviously, as soon as it gets put on the PlayStation, you know, YouTube or whatever it was, obviously Jim Sterling's massive amount of fans immediately flock to him and go, hey, you need to know this is a thing. And he tore into Sony like, come on, what are you doing? Why would you let this happen? It looks horrible on your part. It's showing that you are just in the same trenches that Steam is in. You may just have a fewer people going to your particular platform because it's easier to put it on Steam, but it doesn't mean that low quality games aren't making it onto your platform. It's still
there. Oh my god, this looks like shit.
They never took it down. Even after Jim Sterling brings it to their attention, he goes, hey, Sony, by the way, someone's asleep at the wheel and you guys let this get through, but I'm letting you know that you probably want to take that down. They didn't take it down. They didn't take it down. Somebody lost a bet, man.
Apparently somebody wasn't sleeping at the wheel.
Apparently.
Dude, this looks like hot shit. Not even garbage. Like, this is just like fresh feces right out of a rhino.
Google Life of Black Tiger. It's pretty rough.
Oh, no. I just linked it in the Twitch chat.
Okay. So there you go. It's in Twitch chat. But no, people have been saying for...
Oh, good. The Jim Sterling videos in the Kotaku article.
Like, the people have been saying is not only for Steam, vastly needs it, but also for the PlayStation Store and Xbox Store, they do better, but they still need a type of curation. And I, like, just curious, I think you'd mentioned it, Chris, like, I guess the simplicity of the Nintendo Marketplace has made it easier for a lot of games that I doubt Comico would have ever stood out on the PlayStation or Steam or Xbox Store as well as it did than on the Nintendo Store. I mean, enough to make it one of the top best-selling indie titles on the system.
Mm.
Other question I have on this, how long do you guys think this can keep up? How long do you think indie devs can continue to see success on the Switch? And the reason I ask is because Nintendo Switch games usually tend to come out every Thursday. And I listen to podcasts, they talk about all the Nintendo Switch games that come out every Thursday, and the list is staggering. There's about 18 to 20 different games for the Switch, indie-wise, coming out every Thursday. Some of them are those like Neo Geo Pocket Classic remade games right. for the Nintendo Switch.
Yeah.
And then funny thing is Nintendo actually has paid another company to come in and port their old arcade games to the Switch.
And so like...
So like they're Nintendo titles, but they're being published under a different name because these other people are porting them in. So we're getting some of those in there too.
And so like what is... When does the bottom fall out on this? Do we think?
I don't know if it will, because here's the trick. Really? If you're good about your curation and you keep it in just one point where it's always like, look, we'll put you on our platform as long as you make a quality title and we can play it first.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see a bottom falling out. Like, not every game's for everyone, but if they're doing well and they get more console sales, like if they're on track to outpace the PS4, which they are at this point, think about this. Everyone can take it with them. And you can buy all these indie games and then play them wherever you're at. Why the hell wouldn't you buy it there instead of the PS4 or the Steam machines? Or the PCs or whatever. I mean, let's just be honest.
Oh, yeah. No, I would agree with that. I think you're 100% right. I don't think the bottom falls out unless you stop your curation. So long as you continue to have somebody looking at your stuff before allowing it to go on your storefront,
mm-hmm.
it doesn't have to be their cup of tea kind of game, but as long as you continue to only allow quality, complete packages onto your storefront, I don't see the bottom falling out of that. I think if you are an indie right now and you are not putting your game on the Switch, you are purposely cutting off 70% of your revenue.
I found an article... from Geek.com, Jordan Miner wrote the article here. I'll definitely have to link it in the show notes here. But we had the Game Developers Conference this past week, and basically the title is, at GDC, everyone wants to be on Nintendo Switch. A cool little article about his visit there and how everybody was like, we got to get on the Switch, we got to get on the Switch. All these panels, I'm like, how do you, as an indie dev, do you get on the Nintendo Switch? Big news, I know a lot of our fans here at the local After Hours Game Dev group, I know one in particular who is probably ecstatic about this news, is that another article I found from MCVUK.com from Jake Tucker is that Game Maker Studio 2 will support Nintendo Switch support. So the games you make in Game Maker 2, you'll be able to, as we'd like to jokingly say, save as dot Switch and export for Nintendo Switch. And it's starting with Undertale, because they just recently announced that Undertale is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
Yes, it is.
And so that's, I'm not in any game dev. If you are in any game dev, you can tell us in Twitch chat, or let us know if you're listening via audio over on Twitter. But I think that that is probably huge news for a lot of indie game dev people. If they get, can get Game Maker on board, if I think, I don't know if Unity is on board yet, but if they could get Unity on board, because that's a huge, like Unity and Unreal Engine are probably the two biggest game engines for game devs right now. And if they can get them on board, then that will be completely, completely rolling. Like game devs will flock even more so to that system than they have in the past. But I just don't know. I don't know how you keep, I don't know, like the store, it's, is that curated in the storefront? Like when you go see like the coming soon games, are they are curating those games. It's not, I feel like their storefront could be bigger, more or less, unless you're seeing it on like the coming soon or the available now comments. You are basically, it's, you have to search for the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's curated in a sense of the things getting on there have been quality checked. Mm. But I don't know what pages on their storefront are actually curated to, you know, who's actually getting to be front store page.
Okay.
And who's not. That I don't know as much about. Okay. Yeah. Like I said, even overall, if you go to the Switch and you try to buy a game, it's pretty basic. Like, it's...
Oh, yeah,
it's borderline Wii eShop, you know what I mean? It's slightly better than that. To an extent,
I like that. it makes it simple. None of these graphics and these cool little colors. Like, look, here's the game. Here are screenshots. Here's the video. So you can see the gameplay in action. Here's a big button to say press to purchase.
Right.
Yep.
Well, and it doesn't get any easier than that.
Now, the funny thing is Nintendo's actually seeing that they're getting more digital sales than they are physical now.
True.
So even Nintendo's realizing that we're getting more on digital than we were physical.
Right.
That means they're going to have to put some, you know, little bit of just elbow grease into making that shop a little better. But still, I like the minimal approach. It doesn't need to be, oh man, check these animations like I have on my PS4 Pro, where it's just like, you know, this would have loaded like 5 seconds ago if you just cleaned your interface up.
Right.
Yeah.
Hell, I have that problem with the Microsoft Store. I like when I go in on my Xbox, because I do the whole Game Pass thing now, it's faster for me to tell through my phone, tell the Xbox to download it than to go into the Xbox to download the game.
Really?
Last couple times, yeah.
Wow.
Just because it's, I feel like the Xbox app on the phone is better optimized than the one on the console.
Wow, that says a lot.
Yeah.
That says a whole lot. That makes me curious what the Switch app is going to be when it comes out with the online service later on this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Nintendo's been real great about their mobile app support.
Last question I want to talk about on this topic here is, can the other platforms learn some of the lessons from what Nintendo's doing with indie games to help indie games on those systems succeed? I think the big one is curation.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like if they can get people, and like these are multi-million-dollar companies. I'm sure they can pay a small team a year's salary to come in there, like just curate games, find games, listen to the social, like see what's good, what's not, and kind of filter these games. And so they can have like here are the top 10 featured games this week on PlayStation Store that we've had fun with, and have these like unknown games that may not have gotten any attention.
So what you're saying is pay teams to go in and find out what's actually good so that you can push good games as a product.
But the problem is, Jim brought that up too. And he said the issue is it's not Steam or Sony or Microsoft's job to make sure that your game succeeds.
No, it's up to you. But at the end of the day, also, if you want to push a platform and make it so you're the one-stop shop for everything, you got to kind of do what Apple's doing on iOS. Hey, here's what we found that we like from this week on this topic. They have teams that all they do is go through and do that. Now, is that the best way to do it? Maybe, maybe not. I don't know. But one thing I do like is, like, anytime I open the store up, I have the general, like, I can sort by what I'm looking for. I can check my updates. And on the far left, I got this thing where I can go, if I want to read about the story behind this game or any of that, I can. Mm-hmm. Or I can be like, you know what? Forget that area. I'm just searching for this.
And that's... I mean, I do... I agree, Chris, with your comment as well and what Jim said. Is like, technically... The PlayStation Store and the Xbox Store and Steam, they don't have to, because, you know, they can't please everybody. If they do it for a couple of people, they got to do it for everybody.
Right.
And it's for those guys, it's somewhat of a balancing act, because you look at examples like No Man's Sky, which was an indie game that they hyped up to extent, to unbelievable proportions. I know No Man's Sky and kind of Hello Games and Sean Murray kind of did that to themselves too. But but like some of these other games, like you could look at Ori and the Blind Forest as a good example, because that was published by Xbox, so they definitely do that. So like you kind of see, I think a lot of these indie games that you see getting hyped up by their respective parties, probably part of that is because they have some stake in it. I am sure that Sony put some funding towards No Man's Sky. Microsoft helped publish Ori and the Blind Forest and a couple of other indies. I'm sure they probably helped a little about, helped Studio MDHR a little bit with Cuphead on their platform. And that's why it's over there. And, you know, you have these indie games that, like Hellblade, has been on PS4 and PC for I don't even know how long. And now they finally announced that it's coming over to Xbox.
Right.
And getting Xbox One X enhancements. Awesome. Go play that game if you haven't.
Play with headphones.
Yes.
Surround sound if possible.
But it's... You are right. These smaller indie games, it's not up to those publishers and these companies to kind of help get up there. But like then, I guess, what is the best way to help them get seen? Is it just like go on your own merits? Is it maybe having some small thing like new games released and hope that if you make that new games released this week prominent enough, people can come in and start, oh, man, this is a really cool game, and jump on it? Is that the case? Do they need help?
I mean, as far as I can tell, from you know, an outsider, I'm only an insider from a sense that I'm part of a video games podcast, but you know what I mean? As an outsider looking in, the fact of the matter is, Steam's not going to do it. You know what I mean? They need to, but they won't, because the amount of money that they're pulling in from Steam is by the Brinks truckload at this point.
Oh, of course,
so,
yeah.
So why would they actively go out and tell games that they can't be part of the service when they try to be part of the service, it's already another $100 in their pocket? It's sad, but that's the way world we live in. You know what I mean? I wish that they would go through, have an actual curation process that had some sort of approval thing, spend some of their billions of dollars that they're taking in on sales, and be like, okay, we had to hire some people. They got to go through this stuff. If your stuff's garbage, you're going to have to resubmit. If you resubmit too many times, we'll blacklist your publisher, and then you won't be able to resubmit anymore. You know what I mean? Like, it's a necessary evil. You know what I mean? In terms of trying to get good quality, excellent titles onto your service, rather than just letting any Tom, Dick, or Jane come in and put stuff on there without, you know, the proper beginning, middle, and end to your game, you know? So, I mean, I would love to see a world where, you know, Sony and Microsoft and Steam step up to the level of Nintendo and actually be like, hey, we're not going to let you guys continue to get away with this. This is crazy, but I just don't, personally, I don't see it happening. The best that I could possibly see happening would be at the next iteration of the PlayStation and Xbox, that they go ahead and institute something along those lines, that perhaps they'll finally see that, you know, Nintendo's done such a great job, because unlike Steam is making money hand over fist, right? But I think that the PlayStation and Xbox stores could probably do a better job making more sales of quality titles than letting every single title get released to their console. You know what I mean? Where Steam, you almost expect a PC storefront to be a cesspool of nonsense because of the fact that it's PC, everybody can develop for PC, everything can play on a PC, you know what I mean? Like, Because of the versatility of the platform, I think that Steam will likely always be a trashy place to try and buy games. And if you're not trying to buy something AAA developed, you're going to have a hard time getting a hold of an indie darling. You know what I mean? Okay. Whereas, you know, with a Sony or a Microsoft, I don't know how many people, maybe I'm way wrong, I don't know the sales figures, but I think that most people are probably not going around the PlayStation Store buying trash games just to say they did.
No, I would not think by any,
you know what I mean?
Stretch of the imagination.
Like, no. I would think that in most cases, people aren't doing it. But I could be wrong. For instance, there's another title that Jim put up at one time. Was some kind of really terrible, like, girls in bikinis kind of thing, where like all you had to do was like swipe through using the L and R triggers and like go from picture to picture of these girls in bikinis or something. But the problem was every time you did, you got a trophy. So people who are trying to increase their trophy scores on PlayStation will buy this just to be able to get, you know, 1,000 trophy points in like 5 seconds or less. The game costs $1, you know what I mean?
If you even want to call that a game.
But you know what I mean? It's not a game. It's hot, hot, steamy, hot, smelly trash. But it doesn't change the fact that I'm sure some people have bought it in an effort to try and increase their trophy score. You know what I mean? Like, this exists. It's just, that's what you guys have done. And because of your lack of, you know, curation, you have a storefront that is not a happy place to be.
So, actually, funny thing based off of the whole storefront and the conversation we're having, I want to read a quote from a Nintendo employee named Damon Baker and why the reason why they refuse indie devs, some indie devs on their shop. I can't really disclose all of our guidelines, but I can tell you that those partners that are able to instill a level of trust and confidence in us that they're going to be very capable of getting through the development process and are knowledgeable about bringing content out on consoles, those are the ones that are resonating in terms of bringing the content out and it doing well on our system. He said that to Kotaku. Then, just a little bit later, some of those developers do have a negative reaction or are bummed because they haven't opened the door to hobbyists or students at this time. One day we may, but we may be going towards that direction. But for now, we're still staying in the course and keeping in a closed dev environment.
Yeah.
So, but that's a Nintendo employee saying, like, look, you got to be able to put a game out.
I don't want to get too in the weeds because it's not necessarily gaming talk, but it's very much the concept of, regardless of who you like, Apple versus Android. Mm-hmm. And Apple has that closed garden that everybody's like, oh, it's
the walled garden, as they call it.
Yeah. And where, you know, Apple goes through that rigorous approval process, and you use Android a lot, so correct me if I'm wrong, but for the most part, Google and Android, you can make whatever you want to and throw it on the store.
From what I understand, yeah.
Yeah. And so you kind of see that's a good comparison there. Apples and oranges there. And while I agree with the comment about like PC and stuff, like I think PC is just going to be open because it's PC. That's funny. Entertainment on words.
Yeah, yeah. I just wish that, like what you just said, Will, in that quote, the secondary quote, I wish that Steam recognized the fact that they don't have to be a one-stop shop for every game that's ever existed on PC. That for people who are learning or people who just want to do Unity asset flips, like there can be a storefront for them that's not Steam. You know what I mean? That people can go and purchase these quote unquote games. You know what I mean? Like if you really think that you're something special or whatever, to go on this other storefront that's full of experimental ideas and unfinished ideas and a bunch of other stuff like that. Frankly, it even comes back to the concept of early access. You know what I mean? Like, maybe early access just isn't a thing that companies like Steam should even be trying to get into. If you don't have a completed game package, maybe we shouldn't release it then yet. Maybe you're not ready for that. Maybe you should go over to Kickstarter.
Some devs need that money.
Maybe you should go over to Kickstarter, figure your thing out, give everybody an emailed executable file, and then you learn how to play the game that way.
Or Indiegogo.
I'm just saying that maybe that shouldn't be on Steam. Well, maybe if you want it to be a game platform where people can go to buy games and feel confident about every game they buy, maybe stop letting so much experimental things where people are knowingly going in going, this is an unfinished alpha. You know what I mean?
That's probably why Steam's getting back in the game and starting to make games again, right?
Yeah, are they?
I'll believe that when
maybe,
I see
maybe
it.
Maybe we'll get Half-Life 3 this time?
Yeah, maybe.
Fingers crossed?
It maybe.
Maybe.
We'll get Half-Life 3 by the time Gaben is dead. That's when Half-Life 3 will drop. Yeah. It'll be part of like his thing. It'll be like Ready Player One, but instead it'll be just, you know,
it will be,
this one game instead.
It's
of.
Like the holographic Tupac. It'll be like the holographic Gabe.
Resurrection.
Newell. coming, like, coming back from the dead to give you Half-Life 3. That's all we've got for our topic of the show, guys. And that, unless anybody else has anything to add, that is it for episode 93.
Rate, review, podcast service.
Yeah, I mean, you know, go ahead and support us. Give us a like there. You know, hit the thumbs up. I'm kidding. Pull the plug.
Do all that good stuff. Do all the good stuff. But thank you guys for listening as well. As always, go to rocketpunchgo.com. That's where you're going to find all of our stuff, all of our podcasts and streams. Twitch.tv/rocketpunchlive. If you're an audio listener, come join us sometime on Sunday. Come watch us. Hang out with us here. But be nice in chat. We've seen what happens when you're not nice in chat. We saw it tonight. If you are a video listener, you're watching our streams and stuff, make sure to subscribe to us on your podcast service of choice. Listen to our episodes. Patreon.com/rocketpunch is where you want to go if you want to help support the show. And as well, going to end the note with in the episode with saying, make sure, as I said at the top, get hyped for episode 100. We've got a lot of cool stuff planned. We can't wait to share those plans with you. Until then, let me get my handy dandy mouse clicker pointer here, guys.
Notebook.
Until then, guys, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next week.